I'm going to ask Chantel to share just a couple of things with you.
Prayer we're doing for Cheryl on Monday. Anybody not get this at all to sign up? If you see a name on there, doesn't mean you can't join that person in prayer. You can call them, or you just know if someone's already got their name on there, you can still pray. And there's another thing I like to do for our church. Have anybody heard the book about the 40 days of prayer? My sister in Indiana is doing this right now, and they're about on their 30th day right now. And you get a prayer person, and for 40 days, you get people that you want to pray for. And every day, at a certain time of day, you pray with that person. You call on the phone. You pray for each people on your list for 40 days and see what the miracles that come out of those 40 days of prayer. So I want to challenge our church in the month of March, where you pick a prayer partner and call that person. It could be five people or six, and you call them and say, I'm praying for you for 40 days. What do you need prayer for? Just call them up. And you believe what has happened for my sister praying for my kids. It's a miracle.
Thank you.
If you would take your Bible and turn with me
to the book of Luke, our study is going to introduce a long study in the Acts of the Apostles. Some weeks I'll give you notes, some weeks I won't. We'll just take our Bible, and I may even do some other things along the way to make it meaningful to you. Luke chapter 24 really begins the book of Acts. It really begins the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he does not talk about some things later on in the book of Acts about Paul's life, because some of these things occurred after he wrote the book. But if we'll take it there and turn to Luke chapter 24 and pick it up with me just in verse 44, and we're going to be reading about the Acts of the Apostles, Luke 24, 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. How many of you would say amen to that? A momentous thing happened this week, and I'm surprised that more people haven't talked about it. Egypt fell. For 5,000 years, they have been dominated by the pharaohs all the way down to the time of Moses and 1350 B.C. all the way up through. And now they're chanting in the streets, we have democracy. I don't know if you can see how much of a fulfillment of Bible prophecy this is. Do you realize what could happen if this becomes a domino effect with Jordan, Syria, Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia is concerned. It could go on and the whole Middle East crumble, because without some kind of leadership, even dictatorial leadership, without something, you have uncertainty. And here we are standing on the threshold of the coming of the great Jesus Christ. Would you say amen to that? Our Savior and our Lord. And he opened their understanding. I pray for understanding of the Bible. I don't know about you, but I pray for understanding of the Word of God. It's kind of interesting, by the way, to watch prayer meeting. The other night, there must have been over 40 people at prayer meeting. How many of you attend prayer meeting, by the way? Just raise your hand. It's growing in prayer meeting as we study the Word of God. And one person came up to me and said, I want to know what the Bible says to me. I want to learn what God has for me. And so let's begin by me reading you something, which is really interesting. The motorhome has allowed us to put all the conveniences of home on wheels. Anyone here have a motorhome? I'll take it if you don't want it. A camper no longer needs to contend with sleeping in a sleeping bag. Listen to that. And I know those days, do we not? You know, when you're all situated in your tent or your little small pop-up trailer and you're ready to go to sleep, and Aaron says, Dad, I've got to go to the bathroom. And everybody's in the sleeping bag, and they move around, and he gets out, and he comes back, and then half an hour later, it isn't 20 minutes, and my daughter says, Dad, I forgot, I've got to go too. So then you move all out. Well, those days, listen to this. No longer sleeping in a sleeping bag, cooking over a fire, or hauling water from a stream. Now we can park a fully equipped home on a cement slab in the midst of a few pine trees, hook up a water line, a sewer line, electricity. Some motorhomes even have a satellite dish, so you can watch 3ABN. No more bother with the dirt, no more smoke from the fire, no more drudgery of walking to the stream. Now it's possible to go camping without ever going outside. Now listen to this, it's humorous. We buy our motorhome with the hope of seeing new places, of getting out into the world. We deck it out with the same furnishings we have in our living room. Thus, nothing really changes. We may drive to a new place, set ourselves in new surroundings, but the newness goes unnoticed, for we've only carried our old setting along with us. That's all. As we set up our motorhome. I asked the guy one day, he had a beautiful motorhome, and I said, how do you like it? He said, I don't. I asked him, why? He said, well, we never take a vacation. I said, well, you're on a vacation. He said, no, this isn't a vacation. We take everything from the house along with us, including the dogs, the cat, the parrot. We have it all. Is it possible that we desire a new life and yet we want the old life as well? Is that possible? I have preached to you before about starting over, and you have it in your notes there about starting over. And there are a couple of points I want you to remember as a reassessment. When we do this mental assessment of the past, instead of taking all this baggage, you know, we're not taking this home. They've moved our closing date up, so I won't be here next weekend. And I don't know if I'll be around after that, after moving a house. But it has to be out of there. And now I realize all the junk I have. How many of you have junk? Come on now. You've got junk. And you know what you do? You take it from this place to that place to that place to that place, and you cart around junk you are never going to use. I have material from seminary. Who in the world is going to read this stuff from seminary? That was years ago. And what I do is every once in a while reminisce, hold this page in front of me and say, do you remember when? I don't know what it does for me to do that, but I do that. I realize looking in my garage, honey, we have got a lot of junk. And I suspect a lot of you have that. Do you know they have a program called Hoarders? How many of you heard about it? You can't even walk through. I remember visiting a lady. She said, I don't want you to come in. Stay at the door. And I said, why is that? It was in Bennington, Vermont. She said, well, Pastor, I just feel more comfortable. Let's talk out here. And then I looked through the door window. It was a rather long window. And I said, oh, I see why. There was one little path. And everything was, I'm serious, junk. She didn't even take the trash to the dump. She put it on the back porch. They finally condemned her. Another lady in West Lebanon, the undertaker told me when she died, she was a Seventh-day Adventist, that she had goats in her kitchen. She had a little barn connected to the house, and the door that went into the barn with the horses, the cows, and everything else was wide open. And little goats could come in, and she could feed them, so the goats lived in the house. And the undertaker said, I'm not going to touch her. She has so much lice. He said, your people don't live like this. I said, no, but we do carry around a lot of junk. And I suspect, spiritually speaking, there are people here this morning who said to themselves, I am starting a new year. I promise you, God, things are going to be different, and you carry the same old you with all your challenges. You remember I talked about how to start over? I gave you some points. Easy. Stop making excuses. Cut out making excuses for your problems. Take stock of your life. Where are you right now? Well, I'm the same way today that I was last year at this time. Act in faith, whatever you do. Refocus your thoughts on something better. We're going home. Trust in the Lord your God. When you start over, I think there's one thing you need to remember. We start from forgiveness. Would you say amen to that? We are forgiven. We belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to the Lord. We are His. So I want you to remember that it's important to understand the nature of forgiveness. We have been forgiven for our past. Can I say something to you as a church? I've only been here a little over a year. You won't mind, will you? There are some people here, I think, who have never forgiven others. You know who you are. I don't know who you are. I want Sutherland to go on, and cut out backbiting and gossiping and talking about each other and start loving each other more. We have been forgiven. Praise be to God. And listen to this, we not only have been forgiven, we are forgiven, and we will be forgiven if we remain in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you need to know that. If you do not spend time getting to know His will through a daily study of what it means to be forgiven, how can you know the Lord when Jesus comes? I wasn't going to read this, but I'm going to read you this. One of the most amazing books I've read over and over and over and over. Great controversy. Listen to this. Before His crucifixion, the Savior explained to His disciples that He was to be put to death and to rise again from the tomb. The angels were present to impress His words upon their minds and hearts, but the disciples were looking for a temporal deliverance from the Roman yoke, and they could not tolerate the thought that He, in whom all their hopes centered, should suffer such an ignominious death. Now listen to this. The words which they needed to remember, were banished from their minds, and when the time of trial came, it found them unprepared. The death of Jesus as fully destroyed their hopes as if He had not forewarned them. And then she makes an amazing statement, this little lady. So, in the prophecies of the future. It is open before us plainly as it was opened to the disciples by the words of Christ. The events connected with, and I've studied this, you have, the close of probation, the work of preparation for the time of trouble are clearly presented. Well, how's that? Not many Adventists know about that, do they? Events around the close of probation? I think when you see Egypt fall, you ought to open your eyes and start studying the Bible more. Read Daniel 11, chapter 11, verse 44. Read it when you get home. Satan watches to catch away every impression that would make them wise unto salvation, and the time of trouble will come and find them unprepared. Well, that's not true of you people, because I believe better things about you. Amen? You're going to be prepared. Say, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be prepared to go home with Jesus. Yes, you are. And I'm going to do my best to help you be prepared. Is that good? As we work together. Now listen to this. I want you to catch some thoughts here. There is a text where Jesus actually says in Luke, why do you call me Lord and do not do the things which I say? So it's possible to call him Lord and not do what he desires. It's important to do a checkup on my desire and my will from time to time. How many of you believe that's true? In Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land. Willing and what? Obedient. You can be willing and not obedient. You have to be willing and obedient to say, God, I want to serve you. Oh, my friends, I want to tell you something from my heart to yours. When I watched Egypt fall, I said, oh, my dear God, you're coming soon. We need to reach our neighbors now, not next week. You don't know how much time you have left in this world. And I'm telling you, the sands of time are draining away fast. What did Melon White say? The last events will be what? Oh, you watch this. It's only the beginning. You ought to bring your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your great-great, well, no, but bring your great-grandkids, anybody you can get your hands on, and say, you got to be in church. We are talking about how to be prepared to meet the King. You've got to come. You need to be there. In Luke 24, 44 to 49, for those of you who didn't bring your Bible, I love this text, by the way. It's very, very meaningful. Luke 24, 44 to 49. And then he said, these are the words which I spoke to you. We just had this. All things must be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses, first five books of the Bible, the prophets, major, minor prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. So all the Old Testament does is uplift Jesus Christ. And listen, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. I want to know the word of God. How many of you hold the Bible up and say, I want to know the word of God? I don't want to just come to church. I want to know what the word says to me. Thy words were found, Jeremiah 15, 16, and I ate them up. And then we continue. And then he said, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer. And it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You know what happened to the early church. I'm going to talk to you next week. I'm going to tell you, unless we become a first century church again, we've missed it. You couldn't keep people away from church. They wanted to praise God. What did Sam say? When you used to sing, He Lives, you sang it from your heart. I think it's time we sing that again from our heart. And listen to this now. And you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Holy Spirit of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. We are in the tarrying time. And you know something? It's a painful time to live. Number one, you can misread the signs. Jesus is not coming tomorrow. He's not coming next week. There are some things to happen. But let me tell you, with the fall of Egypt, they can happen so fast that you will wake up one morning and say, what happened? I thought we had years ahead. Time to wake up, would you say? If you wake up. If you wake up. That's good. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Turn to Acts chapter 1. And we'll come back to our notes in a minute. But look at Acts chapter 1. Acts is a carryover of Luke 24. Acts chapter 1. Listen to this. And we're going to be touching on this next week. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I think. I think we're in the tarrying time, and some people have never received the Holy Spirit to his fullest. I said this morning, are we standing on the promises or sitting on the premises? Okay, listen to this. Verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Oh, I would give everything I own and all the money I could have just to be there and listen. Men of Galilee, men of Sutherland, women of Sutherland, Children, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who's taken from you heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go. Don't look up into heaven and keep your focus just there. Look at your lost brothers and sisters. You are to be a witness. Would you say amen to that? I remember one family I visited, and they said, I can't wait for the Lord to come. And we began to talk, and I asked them how many Bible studies they were giving. No, we're not doing any of that. But we've stopped doing this, and we start doing that. And I said, well, what about your neighbors? Have you told them Christ is coming? No, no, we haven't done that either. Their focus was up and on himself. Me, I want to be saved. I want my children saved. I want my grandchildren saved. I want my neighbors saved. The other night, I was walking down by Dale's home. He lost his wife in November, and he's gone from 160 to 100. He has plenty of money. I walked up to him and I said, Dale, what's happening to you? You've lost all this weight. And he had been drinking a lot. And I put my arm on his shoulder and he said, Rocky, he said, it's remorse. I said, Dale, you know, I want to go to breakfast with you. You know, I'm going to tell Dale, there's a new tomorrow. Amen. There is. He hasn't heard that yet, see? So he's drowning his remorse with rum. Or whatever he drinks. All right, I want to give you 4 points. We're going to rapid fire through them. Number one, and I'll just say this to you first. First, the word is preach. Secondly, witness and must be with his presence. Third, we are to wait for his power. And four, we must worship with his people. If you're not coming and gathering with the saints of God, you are missing what God wants to do for you. How many of you would agree with that? Would you agree? We need to be here in church, okay? Number one, the word is preached. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled. And Jesus begins to open the Psalms and the prophets and everything in the Old Testament. He said, here I am. You know what I long? I long for the day when Seventh-day Adventists get so excited about the Bible again, they can't put it down. You know what I did last night when I read Daniel chapter 11? I said, Lord, there we are. Daniel 11:44. Egypt will fall. I'm going to read you something, just a few minutes. The word must be preached. All the word. All things must be fulfilled. I don't know what that entails, but I will tell you one thing. Everything that Jesus has foretold is going to come to pass. Turn to John 5:39 just for a moment. Back to John 5:39. Listen to this. John chapter 5, one of the most beautiful books in the Bible is John. If you've never read through your Bible, I'm not going to ask you if you have, start reading the Gospel of John. John was the one who laid on the heart of Jesus. He could hear the pulse of heaven pounding in the breast of Jesus Christ. He laid on his heart. You know what John says? He's the one that Jesus kept on loving. And here it is, John 5:39 and 40. You search the Scriptures. Oh my, this is so applicable. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. You study the Bible to study the Bible. Well, you haven't found me. And then verse 40, but you're not willing to come to me. He didn't say come to the Word. He said come to me, because I'm the living Word, that you might have life. You search the Bible, but you don't put me in the center of it, see? Can you have Jesus without the Word of God? No. Can you have the Word of God without Jesus? Not really. So the word has to be preached with power. Preached with power. You search the Scriptures. Let me just give you one advertisement quickly. There's a book called Jerusalem Countdown. You need to know this. I'll tell you why. Because the whole world is looking at Egypt right now. I want you to listen exactly to what I'm going to say. This is not just pastor spouting off. The whole world is looking at Jerusalem, looking at Egypt, Israel, everything going on. You know what they see? This is it. You listen to the news. John Hagee, how many of you ever heard of the name John Hagee? He preaches on television. He says, Israel is the only nation created by a sovereign act of God. Secondly, he says, Christians owe a debt of eternal gratitude to the Jewish people for their contributions which gave birth to the Christian faith. Third, Jesus never denied his Jewishness. Number four, Christians are to support Israel because it brings the blessings of God to them personally. Now, everything up to there, I'm with him. Now, listen to this. Five, God judges the Gentiles for their abuse of the Jews. Hold it, hold it, hold it. What did the Jews say? Let his blood be upon what? Us and our children. Did they say that? I want you to listen now. You can hear this in Fox Media. Beck, you can hear this. He's a Mormon, by the way, if you don't know that. But you can hear this out there. Keep your eyes on Israel. Israel is already now close to touching the button that will do some terrible things. They've said that. We are not going to tolerate insecurity in Egypt, and if Jordan falls and on and on and on. And guess what? If it does fall, anything else happens over there. This happened in 18 days. 18 days to bring down the Mubarak regime. 18 days. I was so thrilled to talk to you this morning about this because we're living at the end of time. I know it. 18 days, and kids are jubilantly shouting in the streets, and it was not violent. We have democracy. From a thug running a country to democracy. And you know what one young man said? Oh, this is only the beginning for the Middle East. And one other guy echoed, watch the gas prices. They're not going to be $5 a gallon. We're living in very, very uncertain times. Very uncertain times. Luke said, in order for us to understand the Word of God, we have to center it in Christ. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, all the promises of God are in Christ, yea and amen. I read something by Dr. George Knight that I thought was interesting. How many of you have read his books? Most of you have. If you haven't, buy them from the ABC. He said, in the Old Testament times, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, to Isaiah in the temple through a vision, to Elijah in a still small voice, to Hosea through his own family circumstances. That ought to be good if you're having family problems. And at various times through visions, dreams, and angels, but he spoke best and most of all through Jesus Christ, his own son. Oh, that's beautiful. How did Jesus handle the word? If you catch this and memorize this, you'll know how to understand the Bible. You will know how to understand the Bible with Jesus as a center. Number one, he simplified scriptures. He didn't make it complicated to get to heaven. How many of you would say amen to that? He simplified it. I remember a man was telling the story about the prodigal son, and the guy said, well, that's a simple story. I said, oh, are you saying that Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, was simple? That story is profound and profoundly simple. Simply wonderful and wonderfully simple. Listen to this. And he internalized scriptures. It isn't what you do outside, it's what you do inside. You look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already. If you begin to talk about somebody in your heart, who do they think they are? You're already blaspheming. Your thoughts can condemn you. Romans 2:15. Listen to this now. He enlarges the implication and significance of the scripture. You've heard it said, I say to you, Jesus said, and he enlarges it and he makes it beautiful. How many of you would say amen to that? You've heard it said, remember this. The Lord says, I tell you this. And he enlarges it. And here's where our Protestant brothers and sisters go wrong. I love them, but I don't agree. They say when Jesus enlarged the scriptures, he did away with the law of God. That is not true. He could not deny himself. His character is based on the law. You can't deny who you are. Now listen. When he does, he exalts the true meaning of Scripture. The true meaning of Scripture is not remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's I can't wait. You know what Elder Charles Brooks said one day? How many of you know Charles Brooks? Maybe you should ask you that first. He's black. And he said his mother was going into senility. She had a little Alzheimer's. And Friday she'd say, oh, Charles, the Sabbath is coming. And she'd clap her little hands. I can't wait for the Sabbath to come, she would say. We're going to meet with the people, Charles. And she'd say, amen. And Charles would say, yes, honey, we're going to meet on the Sabbath. Well, then it got so that she would say on Monday, I can't wait for the Sabbath. You know, and she'd clap her hands. He said, well, Mama, we got a few days yet. She was so Sabbath-minded. We have a few more days yet. And then after a while, she would say to Charles, Charles, today's the Sabbath. This woman said Charles was so hung up on resting with Jesus, she wanted to rest every day. I heard that. I said, oh, my. And listen, by the way, he establishes his authority. I'm going to preach on Armageddon. You're not going to want to miss that because it's the battle of God Almighty, not the battle of nation with nation. So you'll want to come to that. I would invite your friends to this. I'm telling you that because I believe we're that close to the end of time. Okay, number two, witnessing must be with his presence. It must be. Thus it is written, it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. When we come here and we testify and we say how great God is, we are telling God in heaven we recognize how great he is. Would you say amen? You are witnesses of these things. What does a witness do? He testifies. And what's it based on? Forgiveness. If you do not forgive a brother or sister, you've never experienced forgiveness. That's a fact. What Jesus was saying here had to do with him. He is the star of the Word of God. He's the one who suffered and died that we might live, and we witness his presence. Oh, my. Last night I was laying in bed. I was talking to Jesus until late with my sinus problem. I'm having trouble sleeping. And I said, oh, God, this has nothing to do with me. Please do not. We're not here to tout our horns. We're talking about God. I said, oh, God, you're so wonderful for forgiving my sins. How many of you would agree with that? Has he forgiven you all your sins? Then listen, listen. After next week, I won't have a house in this world. I won't owe anything either. I won't have anything, but I don't owe anything. A little money in the bank, if they change the currency overnight, I'm in tough shape. I may knock on your door, but the point is this. When I realized that that's not hanging over me, that's kind of like forgiveness, I said, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 3 just for a moment. Acts chapter 3, this is a beautiful, beautiful study. I'm telling you, the Word of God is so powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Acts chapter 3, 11 through 16. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. And Solomon's porch is Solomon's temple. Greatly amazed, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look intently at who? Don't look at us, as though by our own power of godliness we made this man walk. He could have taken glory for that. He didn't. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Oh, that was right to the heart. You did it. But you denied the Holy One just and asked for a murder be granted in his place. By the way, who was set free so that Jesus could be condemned? You know what Barabbas means? Bar, son, Abba, father, son of the father. Jesus is the real son of the father, condemned to death, so that you and I, thieves, could go free. Exodus chapter 33, 13 through 16 is so powerful. Therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you and I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When God goes with you, you are at peace. Would you say amen? If you are not experiencing peace, something's wrong. Listen, and then they said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. You know, Moses was saying, I'm not going anywhere without God. I'm not going to do anything without God. In The Cure for a Troubled Heart, the author and pastor Ron Mule writes, I heard about a dear saintly old lady. Old lady, I don't like the way you put that. Maybe that's because I'm getting older. Who was gradually losing her memory, and details began to blur. And throughout her life, however, this woman had cherished and depended upon the Word of God, committed to memory many verses from her worn King James Bible. Her favorite verse had always been 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. She was finally, listen, confined to a bed in a nursing home, and her family knew she would never leave alive. And as they visited her, she would still quote the words of 2 Timothy 1:12. But with the passing of time, parts of the verse began to lose. I know whom I have believed, she would say. He's able to keep what I've committed to him. Her voice grew weaker, and the verse became shorter. And then she would say, I know what I have committed to him. As she was dying, her voice became so faint, her family members had to bend over and listen to her. And she said, him, him, him. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Number three, we wait for his power. God sends the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have to do the waiting. Wait, we tarry. It's a long time. It seems like forever, but we tarry. And he led them out to Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. In this tarrying process, God is giving you and me an opportunity to grow in grace. If Jesus were to come, some of us might not be ready. But he's going to give you a little time. Would you say amen to that? A little more patience in your life, a little more love for your brothers and sisters. Luke records Jesus' own words in verse 49-50. I send the promise of my Father upon you. You must tarry. I love that. I send the promise of my Father. I've met many people who have honestly said they felt empty. My answer to them is there's no shortcut to God's power. If you want God's power, you have to invite him in. And you have to wait on him. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah 40, 31, mount up with wings like eagles and fly. What did Jesus do to his disciples? He encouraged them to wait. He said, wait, wait. On a tombstone in New York State are the words William and Lucy Miller. And on William's tombstone are the words, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at that time it shall speak and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. On William Miller's tombstone. And I just read Isaiah 40, 31. If you wait on the Lord, you renew your strength. Acts 1, 4. Listen, John baptized with water. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. How many of you want the Spirit's baptism? Oh, man, I want it. I want it. I want it. Number 4, worship with his people. Oh, it's only 10 after 12. Don't look at your clocks or watches. I want you to listen to this now. If you don't come to church, you're sending a message to God. If you don't want to be with the saints below, how are you going to be with the saints above? If you've got trouble with the saints below and you don't settle that, how are you going to go to glory with the saints to heaven? You can't on the way say, by the way, I'm sorry. That's not going to work. I really believe that some of us are going to have to do some heart surgery. I remember a lady coming to church one day, and she said, I haven't been to church for a long time. This was in Brandon, Florida. It was a young church, about 300 attending, 250. She said, you know, I'm a young girl, but I haven't been to church for a long time because I was hurt by this church. But I realize now that I allowed this hurt to hurt me, and I shouldn't have because it owned me. And I want to tell you, Pastor, I am sorry. And she broke into tears. I am sorry, and I'm never going to stay home anymore. I don't care what it is. I will arrange my schedule. I'm going to be here in the house of God because I don't know what God's going to do here on the Sabbath morning. So I'm going to come. I'm going to come. And came to pass while he blessed them, they parted from them, carried up into heaven, and they worshipped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. That's the church. And they were continuing the temple, praising God. Oh, I love that. I love that. What's your motive in your life? Watch 3ABN. I have good preachers on there. I watch 3ABN. You know, I'm tired. Listen to this. I know how this works. I'm tired, you know, Pastor. Friday comes around, I'm really tired out. So I watch 3ABN, or I listen to a tape. And in the back of it all, what you're saying is, I really don't need to be with the people. One guy actually told me, he said, I don't need the church to be saved. I said, would you like to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, 38 to 42? Let me read you some things. The closer you come to Jesus Christ, the closer you're going to come to each other. That's a fact. That is a fact. A lady answered the knock on her door to find a man with a sad expression. He said, I'm sorry to disturb you, but I'm collecting money for an unfortunate family in the neighborhood. The husband is out of work. The kids are hungry. The utilities will soon be cut off. And worse, they're going to be kicked out of their apartment if they don't pay their rent this afternoon. I'd be happy to help, said the woman with great concern. But who are you? He said, I'm the landlord. I'm the one. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you with my whole heart. I'm reminded of this young boy. He fell in love with his sweetheart. And he would call her on the phone and say, honey, I love you. I love you. I can't wait to see you. Then he thought he'd write a note. So he sat down and he wrote a note. He said, you are bright. You're beautiful. He went on with all these beautiful accolades. And at the bottom of the note, he said, P.S. I'll be over if it doesn't rain. P.S. I'll be in church if it doesn't rain. P.S. I'll be in church if the church will only warm up a little bit. The church is you. It's no building. This building is nothing. Do you know something? We had close fellowship up in the ALC. You know, I read the other day, the church is going to appear to fall. How many of you have ever read that? You know why? So many people are going to leave. Where are they? They left. They didn't like this. They didn't like that. They didn't like him. They didn't like her. They didn't like the preacher. Well, that's a good one. Sometimes I don't like the preacher. The hardest day I have, honey, is Sabbath afternoons, isn't it? When I come home and I say to her, I don't like me. I could have said that. I should have said this. I don't want to apologize anymore for that because you know why? The Holy Spirit has bathed my life. And I stand before you, a converted man serving Jesus. That's not pride. That's a fact. I've given my life to Christ. There are better preachers out there. No doubt. But I'll tell you one thing. I love witnessing and I love Christ. I can tell you that. That's a fact. And I'm ready to go home, praising and blessing God. I am ready to go home. The early church was a worshiping church. Let's turn to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. I want you to read this with me. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to do it because it's the word of God. And I won't see you for 3 weeks. I'm preaching in Winston the last Sabbath, so a lot can happen in 3 weeks. Huh? Another hour, yes. I tell you the truth. I've been in meetings where I didn't want to go home. I wanted to hear the word of God. How many of you say amen to that? I wanted to because I wanted the word in my life so it could transform me and shape me and mold me to be like Christ. What if I was gone? That was it. They'll replace me with another preacher. They'll always find a preacher. There's somebody who'll speak. But you're not going to have anyone who's going to be more honest with you about the word of God. That's not pride. That's because I believe the word of God changes lives. Listen to Acts 2. Acts 2, I want you to see this, verse 37. Catch these words, don't miss them. Now, when they heard this, those who heard Peter preach, filled with Pentecostal power, oh, I want that power, Jesus. When they heard this, they were cut what? That is repentance. You know what guilt does? I've heard people say, well, I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to go to church and hear all this negative. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. Listen, why don't you tell God you don't want him bothering you? Guilt produces repentance. Would you say amen to that? Okay, listen to this now. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember I talked to you about that? I'm not saying some of you were baptized and didn't have the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there are many people who baptized and don't. Not everybody. There are people who have memorable baptisms where they met Jesus. Now listen to the rest of this. If you haven't got joy, there's something wrong in your life. I will tell you that right now. For the promise is to you and to your children and to those who all are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many words he testified and exhorted him, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word, look up here, W-I-F-E, wife. When I teach Church Growth seminars, and I've taught them all over North America, different places, worship, instruction, fellowship, and evangelism expression. W-I-F-E, that's the bride of Christ. And it's found in Acts 2. Now listen to this. And they gladly, what does the Bible say next? Received what? His word. Oh my, that hit home. I don't want to hear that. They gladly received it. And they were baptized. And how many were baptized? 3,000. We pray for a half an hour and add 20. They prayed for 10 days and 3,000 people came. Oh my, prayer works. Listen to this. And they continued steadfastly. Here it is, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Now, come all the way down to verse 47. Here's evangelism. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church once a year at evangelism time. Is that what it says? No, the Lord added what? When the Lord starts adding people to a church, you know you're in revival. When you begin to ask Mark or somebody else, who is that? I've never seen them before. No, God knows who they are, and he brought them. And you're going to see this in the future. People are going to come out of the woodwork. If you leave, they'll take your place. Because this work is greater than you and me. As I close, I want to tell you this. I don't know how you read the word. I know how I read it. This is it. It's countdown to eternity. God spoke to my heart yesterday. And you know, I said to the Lord, I was on the couch. I said, oh, Jesus. I said, this is so good. So good. Yes, it's good. Because I can see one thing after another. Rapid events happening. And I want to say to Jesus, oh, I am alive in you today. Amen. I am ready for you to do a work in my life. I'm getting off the couch. I'm going to drop the remote. I'm going to visit my neighbor. I'm going to tell them Jesus Christ is coming soon. How many of your neighbors know you're even Seventh-day Adventist? How many of your neighbors know you're a born-again Christian? Time to tell your neighbors. Would you say amen to that? Let's stand as we have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you love Sutherland Church. You have blessed this church in remarkable ways. You know, dear Father, dear God, we are here to worship you because we love you. And we're so carried away with this grace found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we have just a couple of prayer requests. That you would be with our sister Cheryl. That you would lay your healing hand upon her and bless her. As the Bible says, in our going out and coming back, our rising and our setting, be with her every step of the way. And Lord, we think of the possibility of Sutherland opening a school. Lord, would you speak to us and show us your will in your way? And number three, as we close, dear Father, would you talk to our hearts? If we are so cold that we cannot respond to you in grace, there is something wrong. Forgive us, we pray. Do a new work in our lives. Help us to be new men and women for you. And may we leave this place with joy and rejoicing on our hearts, not picking apart what we heard. I pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. God bless you for coming. Turn to your neighbor, the one that came with you or whatever, and say, you know, I'm glad you came with me today. Probably was your wife, right?